This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's some people who they agree with. I think it's a measuring stick game. Is it overblown by the fans? Not about the Browns on Sunday. That's not a measuring stick game. I'm talking about the Cavaliers taking on the Boston Celtics coming up next Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, I'd kind of like to have some edge. Like, we can see a collision course here. Definitely a pathway to see them in the playoffs. I would love to beat them in a game that not only, if the streak is still relevant, but also the cup, the Emirates Cup. And I know, again, people scoff at that, but we're looking to get as much meaning behind some big games as possible. I think Atkinson is going to have fun with that. Like, yeah, he's going to tell his guys before the game, like, we really want this one. Don't apologize for wanting this game, because they're going to want it too. And the Celtics would love, Boston would love, especially their fans, would love to put an end to this winning streak. They're probably hoping we keep winning, even though we've distanced ourselves a little bit through the first quarter of the year from them. I don't know if they thought that the Cavs, they'd be looking up at the Cavs as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
It's fun, though.
So, yeah, I think both teams, you're crazy if you don't think both teams would get up for that game.
Celtics-Cavs not on national television. Wait, Taylor Tolliver.
I didn't realize that.
Twitter Reactions brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Boy, that's terrible. I didn't realize that. Which, also, if you didn't know, before we get to the phones here, they're going to put Diamond Sports Group, they're going to put them on Prime. FanDuel TV, so you're going to be able to get it on Prime. Like yesterday, it was announced, or 2 days ago, it was announced that you could pay $7 for a one-off Cavs game. And I'm going, well, I don't know how much that's going to... And that's for a lot of teams that are covered by Diamond Sports Group. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't just the Cavs. But I'm thinking, well, you could pay $7 for a local Cavs game, but at the same time, I thought that they were just going to end up playing so many... 13-0, you're going to end up playing a lot of national games.
Sure.
So I don't know if that's going to matter if they're ESPN or TNT all the time.
I'm seeing for next week. I looked up the schedule. I'm seeing TNT as part of a doubleheader.
I'm seeing TNT as well.
All right, so it is on national television. You got 13-0 against the defending world champions. So on Tuesday night.
Yes, the game on November 19th is on TNT.
Yeah. Okay.
The game that is December 1st does not say what it's on.
Okay.
So we got bad information from a tweeter.
And we'll probably get a lot more games flexed later in the year. I think the NBA does have it so that they can kind of move around their games and really at will. It doesn't have the stringent rules that I think the NFL does.
But you can get it on Prime now, the Cavs.
Yeah, I wonder, is Prime going to stay, if Prime continues to get more sports, what is it going to be per month?
Do people got rid of their Prime last week? Do they get it back?
Right. Yes. Good question.
One of those people sitting next to me.
216. But which one? Find out on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies every Tuesday and Thursday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern on 92.3 The Fan. Extra on the free Odyssey app. Josh and Maria, hello.
What's good, fellas?
What's
Real
going on?
Real quick, just on the Browns, to quote Cat Williams, can't fix stupid. Let's just focus on
the Cavs. Let's focus on the Cavs. Then don't even bring up the Browns.
You brought them up.
Josh said that first.
We get yelled at. I love this. Which, I got to tell you, let me. I'm going to jump in on Josh here. So it's amazing is that it's a four-hour show, and God bless anybody who's listening anytime they can, because we live in their world, they don't live in ours. But they're going, talk Cavs. I go, we spent a lot of time talking about the damn Cavs today. We spent a lot of time talking about the Cavs. But even when we get a Cavs call, it says, Celtics fans talking smack about Cavs. That's what's written in the comment box. And Josh goes, yeah, real quick about the Browns here. I mean, come on now. 13-0, we're on the Cavs. Got plenty of time to bitch about the Browns. We'll bitch about the Browns coming up in 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, you're right. I just had to get that off, my bad. But this is a great litmus test for the Cavs coming up, and this should be important because this is a young team still. I think we're not understanding that, like, this is on the back of their mind. you're seeing that they can toy with their food a little bit, but now let's see when it starts getting ramping it up, how they react. They have tired legs. They're still willing to get, you know, some tough plays out and grind it out. So it is important. But is it true that Celtics fans are calling out the Cavs in their schedule right now?
Lima has seen it. I have not.
There was a Reddit post. There have been some tweets by the Celtics blogosphere that people were picking up on. And not only did they talk about the schedule, they talked about all the injured players when the Cavs get them. And then last night was another example of that.
Yeah, but they can't even. Like, I don't understand what the trash. You won the championship. You're still 10-3. It's not like you guys are starting off like the rest of the East.
Yeah, it's probably Josh, because I saw we were number one in the power ranking, I think, yesterday with ESPN or whatever, so they were indignant about that.
Well, so what was their excuse against Steph Curry when he kicked their ass and we kicked their ass next week? So what was their excuse?
Well, fans are going to talk.
Last time I checked.
Fans are going to talk trash at every turn because we're looking for reasons. And this is something here, Josh, and thank you very much for the call. I mean, we are going to look for reasons to be a little bit more in-depth about the regular season because the players themselves try to tell you that the regular season isn't important. Okay, well, I have a collision course coming up on Tuesday, and I do think that their emotions and their pride and their egos play into this. You're 13-0, and if they're going to say what they're going to say, and I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the fans. If they're going to say what they're going to say, okay, well, my team has a chance to kind of stick it to them. Now, if we win and we do stick it to them, I already know that they're going to say, well, it's only November. Okay, well, I can't guarantee everything. But damn it, like, you have this chance here where you can justify a lot of this. So even if you're 13-2 going in, say you lose the next two, right? You can justify a lot of this. And with Kenny Atkinson, there's been some things that have gone out so well that I do think some fans... I'm not complaining about the winning, and I don't think any fans are, but I do think in a lot of at the back of fans' minds going, okay, this is great, but I do want to learn from it in the regular season. Well, this is a great chance to learn in the regular season. The Celtics are a really good basketball team. I think that they look for competition. You're clearly looking for competition. I think that this is a tremendous opportunity for both teams involved. If this just became a, well, we're going to sit this guy and that guy, I'd be really disappointed. I'd actually be mad on Wednesday morning that we were robbed of a chance here. Because I do think that it would stick to some fans going, hey, you know, you guys have been talking the trash, but you guys keep not playing guys against us. You can only beat who's in front of you.
Yeah, I did. I said I would have loved it for Joel Embiid to play last night. I'm looking for challenges at this point. I guess, that's a different question. Would you just be to pad this undefeated streak record? Would you rather play lesser competition if you could do it, you know, with a magic wand? Would you rather play a bunch of easy teams over the next 4 weeks to pad it, or do you want some challenges?
I'd want a few challenges, yeah. Why wouldn't I want some? It's a regular season. I know my team's
good. Matter before January in the NBA?
I'm not
questioning you. I'm asking a real question. Taking offense to my question.
I'm sorry. I thought you were
Do challenges matter before January in the NBA? I just don't. I don't ever recall a time in April going, we saw the best out of them, or that's going to affect this, you know, Eastern Conference series in May. I don't know that you necessarily want the you want the challenges over not. I think the streak's more important than the challenge right now.
Well, I guess I'd say only because
I disagree.
Your best. What are the best wins right now for the Cavs?
Golden State.
It's the Golden State game. What's next? Is it the Knicks?
Yeah, probably.
The Knicks are 5-6. The Lakers.
Yeah, but 5-6 Knicks are different because it's the Cavs.
Right. Lakers, since it was here, LeBron, the whole thing that I'm yelling at 7:00. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Lakers.
And the Lakers are 7-4.
Yeah.
So they've been kind of topsy-turvy so far this year. But what I'm pointing to is it'd be nice to say, oh, and the Celtics. They beat the freaking Celtics. Like, I'm just saying you don't have to justify necessarily, 13-0. But it is nice to say not only is it 13-0, but it's 13-0 against this team.
Well, I asked you yesterday off air, but I'll ask you on, like, you thought they'd win 50 games this year?
I said 52, 53.
Okay. And how many do you think now?
Oh, now.
After this 13-0 start.
Now, they staying healthy is a big part of it, but... I mean, man, it's
60.
There's a path to 60 here that is pretty realistic.
Well, they're still, so that means they're still going to lose in the next however many games. They've got 68 games left, 69 games left. They're still going to lose 20 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a third of the games they're going to lose, which is going to suck at some
point. Which is hard to believe, right, the way they play.
Lose, and if that happens, they're going to lose three or four in a row, maybe.
Yeah, they would have a streak.
Well, that's and so that's where I go, like, let's load it up now. I think the more you load up these wins now, the less there is of the losses later.
I disagree. I go back to what you said about
a pretty good point, though.
He does. I'm not saying he makes a stupid point.
Ken doesn't want to agree with me.
He's still smart, but I said I disagree.
Very true.
Well, you said the streak's more important than beating the Celtics, is what you said?
No, that's not what I said.
Then what did you say?
You asked, do we want challenging games right now?
And I said yes.
I think it's more important to win games right now. I don't care if we're playing the Washington Generals 800 times to start the season.
Oh, I do.
These games do not, winning or losing to the Celtics right now, I don't think matters as much as just getting wins.
Well, it's hard to win 13 games in a row.
Yeah.
So it's impressive no matter what they've done.
Correct.
But they're also, if they were 11-2, we would still be excited. So if we were 11-2 and we had lost to a great basketball team, I think we'd be 11-2 and lost to a great basketball team, and that'd be in the back of our heads. If we were 13-2 going into this game on Tuesday and you beat them, it's like, all right, we have our team, we have our win, we have our justification here. Now we're here at, it would have been 14-2. So I think that having that quality opponent to finally get that monkey off your back where, yeah, you mentioned Golden State. Well, you know, Golden State, they're still a little bit older. And I know that Draymond Green said some nice things on a podcast recently about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay. To beat LeBron and the Lakers at home, okay, the Knicks, whatever. But to beat Boston, I think that matters. I think that playing a quality opponent here to justify these good vibes, if they move the basketball well and hit their shots and defend well, especially against you said they shot 60 threes the other night?
Yeah, they have a game where they've shot 60 threes.
I mean, Lord, Owen, if they defend that and they do well, I think we're going to be feeling even better.
And you think you're going to use in a defense, this is a total hypothetical, but if they go into the playoffs on some sort of a downtrend, because they're going to have a down spot somewhere this year. If they go into the playoffs on some sort of a downtrend, you think you're going to go, well, in November?
No.
In November, we beat the Celtics, guys. But that's why I don't think it matters.
But I'm looking for a reason. But in that case, then none of the regular season matters. And that's been the problem with the NBA for a long period of time.
I didn't think that was true, but I don't think the regular season matters until January.
So what are we going through all this for?
Games, I don't think it matters.
Well, this is why we have an NBA Cup. To make it matter in some case, even though it doesn't matter to the general fan.
And that's what changes Tuesday night's game. That is part of the Emirates NBA Cup schedule.
Well, then their floor is going to look different, and so that's not going to count for them because it's going to throw everybody off.
You're not in the garden anymore. The parquet's gone.
So then this just becomes, honestly, it's just for the fans. Well, I haven't gotten into it with a Celtics fan at all.
It's nice to have a fan thing. It's nice to have that once in a while.
I mean, damn, you guys. I mean...
I'm just saying, I'm with you. That
almost cussed. I was like, well,
fine. By and large, when we get into the playoffs, if we get into the Eastern Conference Finals, are we going to really look back at a November game that much?
No.
Probably not.
Well, because we'll have other games against the Celtics.
Right.
And you look at the regular season records.
And I am going to whoop it up when we beat the Celtics on Tuesday.
Are you
Regardless
sure?
Regardless of what I just said.
All right.
Yes, because I'm a fan. Because unlike football, I think football we all overanalyze. Basketball and baseball to me, that's just let's go out, have fun, have some drinks, let's cheer for our team.
I want them to play at full strength because I don't want to hear, well, the Cavs were 4-3 against the Celtics during the regular season, but they didn't have so and so and so and so.
You know what's fun? Winning basketball games.
Well, if we just fart at the regular season here, guys, what the hell are we going to talk about? You guys want us to talk about Cavs, and we want to talk about Cavs, and I just fart at the regular season. Then fine. Browns are terrible. 216-474-0092. Just how bad are the Browns, guys? How bad are the Browns?
It'd be fun if they made Mike Vrabel head coach.
Are they really bad, or are they sort of bad? Well, that's a hell of a way to make a transition, isn't it, Owen? Because I have here from Connor Orr, who's been a guest on the station, maybe on the show, but I think on the station multiple times, where he has 27 head coach candidates for 2025. Amongst this list is Bill Belichick, which, by the way, can I say this? I don't think Bill Belichick is going to have the time to do what he wants or what fans want him to do. That's a 73-year-old man. They want a quick turnaround. He's a guy who wants total control. Are you willing to give a 73-year-old man total control considering what he was doing the final years with the New England Patriots? Will he be able to get an organization turned around in time to do all those things? Will he have enough time as a viable head coach as a 73-year-old man to do so? Those are questions.
Is he bringing Vrabel with him?
Well, this is what I have to bring up. I will read this verbatim. It's a short blurb from Connor Orr, SI. Quote, the Browns have struggled mightily in 2024, though Vrabel, the longtime Titans head coach, seemed to be a valuable addition to the staff. Anecdotally, Vrabel has garnered the respect of coaches in that building and is one of the hotter names on the cycle, especially given the way Tennessee has struggled in his absence. Vrabel is a strong presence and would be a valuable addition, especially for a franchise struggling to garner an identity. Now, earlier today, I said one of my major criticisms, Kevin Stefanski's a manager. You need leadership. That if you're going to have a lead, if you're going to have a manager, and you can have a manager. I mean, Bill Walsh was an intellectual. He would get riled up from time to time, but he was an intellectual. You need guys who will go in there and cuss people out and do it, and they got to do it from the locker room. If you don't have that, your head coach is going to have to be more strong-willed. Dan Campbell, it's worked out well. Mike Vrabel, it could work out well. However, one of the worst things you might have been able to do is one of the best intentions you ever had was letting him in the building to see how the sausage is made. Now, I'm not going to confirm or deny anybody's suspicions about the Cleveland Browns right now. We're halfway through the year, but we start to develop our own thoughts. How many listeners out there think that this is a great situation? How many people over the last 36 hours, Owen, have agreed with the slippery wizard across the table that this is a team devoid of talent and that they need to tear this thing down? How many people believe the slippery wizard, though, when he says that Paul DeBodesta is going to be in a quote-unquote money-making role, whatever the hell that means, even though he's not really ever been in a business situation with any of the teams he's been involved with, but how he's going to be shipped to a money-making role, I'd like to hear that when they have plenty of people who help them make money who do have money-making backgrounds. Do we believe that Rasputin is not going to be involved with the Cleveland Browns in 2025? Nobody can tell me that because he survives everything. So if Barry's gone and Stefanski's gone, maybe you'd have a chance, except Rasputin is still over on the coast. So if he's still there, you think Mike Vrabel wants to be involved in this? It boils down to this. If you guys think it's bad and you guys think they have no talent, and that this thing needs to be torn back down to the studs and rebuild all over again, and that the quarterback...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The contract is such an albatross around their neck and we need to liquidate all these assets, then why would a guy like Mike Vrabel, who is already was starting to go through that at Tennessee, want any part of this?
Why? Honestly, Kenny,
because he's from here.
I mean, that obviously is a big part of it, right? I mean, it's him coming home. So I don't
even
think
he has enough money. He can come home whenever.
But
he
I'm
wants.
Saying I don't think you even have a shot if he wasn't from here. I don't think Mike Vrabel you would even have a shot at all.
Fair enough.
I do think location's a big part of it. I also just wonder when it comes to a lot of these, like Sean Payton. Did he think Denver was a great situation? No, they had a terrible before the Deshaun Watson deal. The Russell Wilson deal was considered the worst, like in NFL history, and was supposed to be an albatross.
Do you think he thought he could work with him, though, Russell Wilson? I think he thought he could.
I don't know.
I mean, they had given him all the power. Give him his own office.
Don't you think he'd rather have a rookie quarterback? I think these guys would rather
mold their own guy. Yeah, a guy like Sean Payton is a quarterback guy would definitely rather mold his own guy.
I just think the way the NFL is, and yes, the problem is obviously the Deshaun Watson contract hanging over their heads, no matter what any capologists say. And the willingness to spend money, it's not ideal. Other teams are going to have more money to spend than you, especially in your division at all times. I do wonder if these guys all think they could go anywhere and turn it around, because you can in the NFL. You can do it so fast. Again, look at Washington.
You can.
In Houston.
It's a great selling
point. Those were considered awful situations.
But was Sean Payton given a year of full access with the Denver Broncos before he signed on? Because Mike Vrabel at this point can go, yeah, you guys have the best intentions. You guys are telling me everything. You guys told Kevin all the same things. And halfway through the year, he's on the sidelines.
We have no intention of
him being on the sidelines. In fact, Mike doesn't want to be on the sidelines. Guess what? They play against Cincinnati. I look down, I go, oh, There's Mike Vrabel on the sidelines. Hey, did anybody say he was going to be on the sidelines? No one said he was going to be on the sidelines. He's on the sidelines. Didn't he say he was going to be on the sidelines? Was he on the sidelines? No. Now he has a bigger role. So it's almost like, can you save us here? So they've made decisions, and I wonder if those decisions were above Kevin Stefanski about his own coaching staff, and Kev's like, hey, buddy, can you step in here? Because clearly there's a relationship between the two. And if Mike Vrabel were to deem it okay, well, one, you've just let go of my friend. Or two, how am I supposed to trust you when I know I can't trust you when I've had all these other decisions made for my friend who had you as a competitive football team last year?
Deshaun Payton example is interesting.
One more chance at this where he gets the pick of the litter.
The Sean Payton example is interesting because he basically did a tour around the NFL for a couple of years. He had that job with Fox.
Yeah.
So he was checking in on all the buildings. I think he wasn't living it like Mike Vrabel is right now.
There you go.
But he definitely was privy to a lot of how the owners worked. There had been some reporting done about that. Like he was definitely investigating situations. And they're going to pick whichever. Like Sean Payton had multiple teams that were after him. He's going to pick the best one to him. The interesting thing about Vrabel is he's 3-1 odds to be the next Dallas Cowboys coach. How does Dallas look right now? I mean, they got Micah Parsons, but they got a quarterback who's out for the rest of the year that
they're not all sunshine and roses.
Has no playoff success.
And
So I don't think any situation's going to be perfect. I mean,
no,
people thought people thought going to Jacksonville was going to be a great situation because the owner was going to let you do whatever you wanted to do, and then you were going to get one of the best, the prodigy prospects in recent NFL history, and how's that working?
You're not,
so none of these situations are great.
Well, good openings don't open up.
I mean, unless Andy Reid was walking away, that's it.
There's no great... I get what you're saying, but when you've had a year to talk yourself out of it because you've watched all this and you know you may or may not be able to trust him, and a lot of fans out there, I put your own securities or your own common sense, I have to pit it against you because you're upset. A lot of people are turning on Kevin Stefanski. You're 2-7. You want a guy to come in and save you. And Mike Vrabel is a damn good football coach and a damn good football man. And it looks like he can save you. You've given him a year of unfettered access that he has seen all this. You know, Sean Payton was on Fox. He got the red carpet rolled out for him everywhere. They put on their best face when he comes in and visits. Mike Vrabel saw the everyday, how the sausage was made. Not just the best looks. Not just everybody on Thanksgiving dinner. He saw everybody the day after. He saw everybody during the fights. He saw everybody while other things were going on. That's what he saw. Like, if Milwaukee were to call again, and I were to go up there, they'd put on their best face forward. But I'd have to go, would I really be excited about here? Because what happens a week after? What happens a month after? What happens if my kids don't like school? Like, these are things we have to take into account. And he is from here. And so I think that, again, his own, whether he's a fan or not a fan, I don't know if he was a Browns fan growing up. Helps to say maybe he was. If he's a Browns fan growing up, there's definitely some cynicism in the back of his head. And I don't think that helps in the way that a lot of us hope that it helps.
But what about this?
He might love a challenge.
Let me give you this scenario. Beyond that it's home, beyond that it's a challenge, beyond the talent that's on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he really was finding fault in the way that the organization delivers their decision-making, the hierarchy, the reporting to Haslam, like, I imagine someone like Vrabel would just say, well, if you want me, I'm going to restructure the whole thing. Exactly what Josh McDaniels wanted to do.
That's the only way.
I mean, that's what would happen, right?
That's the only way.
Like, there's no way Mike Vrabel would come here and say, and I'll work for the guy that's responsible for those drafts. Yeah. And this flow chart of power, it's not going to work for me. Take it or leave it.
If I'm
and then
Vrabel,
it'd be up to Haslam, because Haslam's going to see other teams are going to covet Mike Vrabel.
And this is all based on Connor Wars. And you're right about that. I mean, good God, if you were willing to give a guy $230 million guaranteed to come here, you might as well really go for the gusto on the head coach. And I'm being serious about that. If you're Mike Vrabel, Tone, this is where I totally agree with you. If I'm Vrabel, I go, you want me to come home? Because I can't come home twice. You want me to come home and risk failing? Now, I'm an egotistical man. I'm a head coach in the NFL. I'm also a radio show host, for crying out loud, so that's ego enough. But I don't think I'm going to fail. But if I fail at home, I can't go home twice. So I have to go and I have to face my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. They just retired my number down at Walsh Jesuit High School in Cuyahoga Falls. I had a great big homecoming for everybody. I can't go face those people as a failure of the Cleveland Browns ever again. So you know what you're going to have to guarantee me? The guy out in San Diego, he goes away. Bye-bye. Andrew Berry, now Kenny Carman likes him personally. I don't care about Kenny Carman. He goes away. Bye-bye. This whole staff, maybe there's some guys I like, they go away, and we do things my way. I pick out my general manager. I pick out my chief strategy officer, if there is one. Or I can just look and go, hey, man, this is a football team. It ain't that hard. We'll get an analytics group because we need an analytics group because we can't go back to Neanderthal stuff because that's the overreaction that another guy had there. And as much as I love John, you know that's true. And we have to go my way. That's the only way you're going to do it. And I'm telling you right now, if the ownership was willing to give $230 million guaranteed to the quarterback to come here, then yeah, if they were really going to press the nuclear option, they damn well better be ready to give unfettered power to Mike Vrabel. That's the only way it works. He is the, I don't want to say football czar, because anybody who's called a czar, it ends poorly for him. He is the king of football in Cleveland. If I'm Mike Vrabel, you will sign checks. You will promote the franchise. It is your franchise. Maybe someday you have decide you have to step in. I'm the one who makes every single decision here. I pick the general manager. The general manager helps me pick the players. You see what they do in San Francisco. I'm the one in charge, or else I don't come here. And that simple.
And I imagine
that's the way it'd have to be.
That's how, when these teams get really desperate, that's the kind of power and control they have to cede to get the guy they want.
Because Mike Vrabel's an emotional man, and he has to look from corner to corner of that locker room and go, we have a lot of cerebral football players with talent, but there's no soul. We're not pushing them. Why is that? Because from the top down, we're too focused on things that don't have anything to do with what it takes to get you across on 4th and 1 to win a football game on a Sunday. And that's something that Mike Vrabel, I guarantee, sees. And that's ultimately what I thought John meant by real football players. Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Our friends in Pittsburgh are talking about us within the last hour via 93.7 The Fan's morning show. Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson. Heard your guys' audio earlier today on watchable teams of this year, which included the Steelers from Lima, and decided to rub some extra salt in that wound.
Right.
Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't really know the context of their conversation, but I'm going to frame it like this. Which teams would we rather watch than our own? You know, the Browns suck, and you got a tackle. Did you see this? Jedrick Wills saying he's making business decisions.
Yes.
You trade Cooper. You're subtracting from the team. The players are probably thinking, what the hell are we even doing this for? And in one instance, like I just mentioned, a guy who doesn't want to suit up for the club right now. And they're discussing, which teams would you rather watch? And God just injected it right into my veins. Because I find there are no fan bases that talk more junk than the Browns. All off season, we've got Deshaun Watson, you've got Russell Wilson, our guy's better, we're going to win the division, we can win the Super Bowl, and you, Pittsburgh, you're stuck in quarterback purgatory, moving on from your first round draft pick, and you move on from the guy who was 3-0 at the end of last season, you guys are stuck in the mud. Well, 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 how the turntables, Doran.
He's not a good trash talker, I'll tell you that. We are way better at it. But I got to take it, don't I?
Yeah, the substance of what he's saying. Now, this show, I don't think we were necessarily all about Deshaun Watson giving us the biggest edge. We were hopeful.
But we're on at the same time.
Yeah,
so
we were definitely.
You can't really hear that.
We were definitely hopeful that Deshaun would be all healed up and ready to go. We certainly had our doubts about that. The Steelers are interesting. I did pick them to finish last in the division. So, egg is definitely on my face on that. I thought that Russ would be, and Justin Fields would be, I did think they'd be better than the quarterback play they had last year. I did not know that Russ would be able to dial this up. So, again, I was definitely wrong on that.
Yeah.
I've always had respect to their defense. I mean, obviously, I think the world of TJ Watt, pains me to say it, but
well,
he's really good.
I hate the Steelers. I do respect them. I can't not respect something I hate. I have to respect it to hate it.
I've defended Tomlin against their own hosts. I mean, their own hosts
but
have cracked on Tomlin and wanted to move on.
I have also called up their own hosts and did a Jim Trafficant impression as Jim in Ohio and ripped those hosts and ripped the Steelers. So I have to take that on the chin, don't I?
Yeah, this is what happens. We are in last.
Yeah, I'm 2-7.
They are really good and have a chance to win the division.
Yeah. So
but their schedule, by the way, their schedule is brutal. So the Steeler fans better get their trash talking in about their team now because it gets a lot harder.
I hope it does get a lot harder, but somehow I just, they're a cockroach.
And well, I say that and they play us twice.
That's even better. So we had a controversy earlier today. The Fairview Park Christmas lights on Seabury Drive, Seabury Avenue,
I think so, yeah.
that they are curtailing the lights. You can't put them on the tree lawn. You can't put them over the walkways, the sidewalks, because the crowds, there's too many crowds. We played audio from WKYC. There's too many crowds. People are mitigating in public, in the bushes, in the yards and whatnot. There's drunkenness, public drunkenness, vandalism. The police have had to be called out, and then the first responders can't get to where they need to go because of the crowds. You and I had a very strong back and forth about it because you said I was a Grinch, and I said I'm not going to use taxpayer money to put a cop in someone's driveway to make sure that they can watch, and also I don't want people taking leaks in my bushes. We went to the Facebook page. Owen was able to do it because Owen's not silly and he was not born yesterday. Mitch was apparently born yesterday every day.
I got into the page.
You got into the page as well?
Yes.
I beg your pardon. So, and I also had a mole send me screenshots of very angry Fairview Park residents. No names, guys. If you guys got... Owen, if you got some names here, don't mention names. Just give me some comments. Some people are very upset.
I'm looking at a post from 5 days ago, which was made, and I'll give you a name here on this one.
Whoa.
Mayor Bill Schneider made a post.
Public figure. Hello, Bill.
It is the city's statement regarding this situation, the Seabury Holiday Light statement. Several comments underneath. One commenter said... When there is an election, Mayor Bill Schneider, and tagged him, does not have my vote. This is the most preposterous and ridiculous statement that is full of ridiculous reasons why our Mayor Grinch is taking away Christmas cheer, and I cannot wait for the next election so I cannot vote for him.
Whoa!
So now it's getting political.
Over the Christmas lights? Yes.
Over the war on Christmas.
That's right.
I can never be mayor. I can never be a mayor of a small town or a big town. Never.
Too Never. Many masters to please.
Oh, my gosh.
Another comment. How do you have all this time and money to invest in destroying the best part of living in Fairview Park and also have zero time to update us on what is going on with our aquatic center, the second best thing about living in the city that also no longer exists?
I've been to the library that's right next to there, and they have a great kids section at the library. Izzy is in love, except there were some too catty girls there last time.
Yes.
Let's clean it up. Let's clean it up, Fairview. So do you agree? We should have a poll question. Is the light display the best part of living in Fairview Park?
Somebody writes, making it easier for emergency vehicles and first responders to get to a neighbor in need of emergency assistance is probably more important than your personal Christmas cheer.
Okay, by
boom, shakalaka.
All right, but by that standard, why do anything ever if anything could get in the way of that?
Like, we must remain vigilant.
Why ever do a parade? Because all of a sudden your first responders are at the start of the parade. What about behind it? What do you do? How do you get there? Like, you would just not have anything.
3,100 words to state that the arches are no longer allowed over the sidewalks. And someone responds, well, how could they possibly get a point across without quoting Robert Frost? Was Robert Frost quoted during their initial statement?
Well, you can't have a post on Christmas without someone named Frost.
Yes, it's true. Kris Kringle, if you will monitor the situation. Could you imagine this? Hey, I got a new fire station built. Yay! I lowered your taxes. All right.
Yeah.
Schools are wonderful, even though I probably have no power to that because I'm a mayor. All right.
Great.
Hey, we have to kind of cut back on the lights. People are taking number ones in people's front yards. You are out of here. Get your bleep.
I think this story, honestly, I think this is the type of story that the headline could go national.
I think it's the type of story where the headline should go national.
You know what? That's what we're here to do, to inflame those passions, and to host a very pleasant conversation.
This guy might be the nicest mayor ever, and they're making him out to be Mr. Potter. It's unbelievable.
Right. He could be doing everything right. He could be amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't mess with Christmas.
For all you guys on Seabury Avenue, we should go over there.
Take the show on the road?
Yes, you and I should do a show from over there in the morning.
But then someone will protest and say, how are the first responders going to get to the house with Ken and Lima doing their show?
What if Ken chokes on a sandwich? What if he has a heart attack?
How are they going to get
what
there?
What are you guys going to do?
Yep.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey. And together we have the podcast Office Ladies. Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.